Kenya, a single mother and teacher dedicated to the success of her students and her teenage son, Omari. Tensions are mounting at his school, and Nia must find a way to rediscover her connection with her son and his connection with himself. Pipeline will be presented at Théâtre La Licorne from April 12th to 23rd in English and April 26th to May 8th in French. For tickets, call 514-523-2246 or visit théâtrelalicorne.com. This is a Black Theatre Workshop production and a CKUT co-presentation.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I generally have no optimistic impression that I can report to you from this conversation with President Putin. The offensive in eastern Ukraine is evidently being prepared on a massive scale, which is why I made very clear that stable access for the International Red Cross is needed.
After a meeting with Vladimir Putin, Austria's chancellor warns Russia's planning a massive offensive in eastern Ukraine. We'll speak with the Ukrainian-American journalist Lev Galenkin. He's from Kharkiv, Ukraine's second city, which has been under heavy Russian shelling. Then we'll look at how a fund led by the Saudi crown prince has invested $2 billion in a new private equity firm run by Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. The news comes as Turkey suspends the trial of 26 Saudis accused of assassinating journalist Jamal Khashoggi and sends the trial to Saudi Arabia at the kingdom's request. We'll get the latest. Finally, Pandemic Inc., chasing the capitalists and thieves who got rich while we got sick.
The focus of the book is on the people who saw an opportunity in our vacuum of leadership and our lack of preparedness to make money and get rich at the cost of our pandemic response and our community.
We'll speak to investigative reporter J. David McSwain. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Austria's leader met Monday with Russian President Vladimir Putin, warning after his visit to Moscow, Russia's set to intensify the brutality of its assault on Ukraine. Chancellor Karl Nehammer said he spoke with Putin for about 75 minutes, becoming the first European leader to meet with Putin since Russia invaded Ukraine in late February. This comes as Ukraine's government says tens of thousands of Russian troops are massing for a major new offensive in eastern Ukraine aimed at capturing the entire Donbas region. On Monday, the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, addressed South Korea's parliament asking for military aid. Zelensky also said the death toll in the besieged city of Mariupol was far higher than previously reported.
Mariupol has been destroyed. There are tens of thousands dead. But even despite this, the Russians are not stopping the offensive operation. They want to make Mariupol a demonstratively destroyed city.
Zelensky's claims could not be confirmed, as Mariupol remains largely cut off from the outside world. On Monday, Mariupol's mayor told reporters more than 10,000 civilians have died in the city. Meanwhile, the Pentagon says it's monitoring unconfirmed reports that Russian troops used chemical weapons during the assault on Mariupol. In Russia, police arrested the prominent anti-war activist and opposition politician Vladimir Kara-Murza on unknown charges Monday after he called the Russian government a regime of murderers. Kara-Murza previously survived two suspected poisonings that rights groups blamed on Russia's Federal Security Service. The United Nations says it's investigating reports of sexual violence and rape committed by Russian troops in Ukraine. Sima Bahous, the executive director of UN Women, spoke Monday to the UN Security Council.
The combination of mass displacement with the large presence of conscripts and mercenaries and the brutality displayed against Ukrainian civilians has raised all red flags.
Bahus also warned of increasing risks of human and sexual trafficking of young women and unaccompanied teenagers. Her comments came as human rights worker Katerina Cherepaka testified her organization has documented 9 cases of rape by Russian soldiers involving 12 women and girls, something she called just the tip of the iceberg.
We know that many of these cases will hardly or even never be disclosed, unfortunately, as many of those suffered are killed already by Russian invaders. We know and see, and we want you to hear our voices, that violence and rape is used now as a weapon of war by Russian invaders in Ukraine.
Sweden's ruling Social Democrats said Monday they'll review their long-standing policy of military non-alignment after some lawmakers demanded Sweden apply for NATO membership. This comes after Finnish leaders said they're considering a plan to end Finland's long-standing neutrality policy in order to join NATO. In Moscow, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov warned NATO against the inclusion of Sweden and Finland.
We've repeatedly said that NATO remains a tool geared towards confrontation. It's not the kind of alliance that ensures peace and stability, and its further expansion will not bring additional security to the European continent.
Earlier this year, Swedish and Finnish soldiers joined about 30,000 NATO troops in northern Norway near the Russian border for Arctic war games known as Operation Cold Response. China's COVID-19 crisis deepened Monday as authorities announced plans to test 18 million people in the city of Guangzhou, northwest of Hong Kong. Officials sealed off the city to most new arrivals and canceled in-person classes for school children after officials detected just 27 coronavirus cases on Monday. This comes amidst growing popular protests against a sweeping lockdown in Shanghai, where some 26 million people have been confined to their homes for up to 3 weeks, sometimes without access to food or medicine. Some parents report they spent days separated from young children who tested positive for coronavirus. Here in the United States, Philadelphia has become the first major city to reinstate an indoor mask mandate after a sharp rise in new COVID-19 cases. The move comes just 6 weeks after Philadelphia officials dropped indoor mask requirements put in place amidst record rates of infection last winter. Meanwhile, several prominent U.S. universities, including Columbia, Georgetown, Johns Hopkins, and Rice, have reinstated mask mandates on campus. The number of U.S. infections is once again rising, led by northeastern states where the BA2 Omicron subvariant has become the dominant form of coronavirus. Israeli forces have killed 6 Palestinians, including 2 women and a teenager, since Friday. In one incident, Israeli soldiers shot dead an unarmed Palestinian mother of 6 who they claimed did not heed calls to stop at an Israeli checkpoint near Bethlehem in the occupied West Bank. Tension has been soaring in recent weeks between Israelis and Palestinians. 14 people have died in Israel in attacks by Palestinians over the past 3 weeks. Israel's responded by raiding Palestinian neighborhoods in the West Bank, setting up makeshift military checkpoints and conducting mass arrests. The Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, who recently lost his parliamentary majority, said, quote, "The state of Israel has gone on the offensive." In news from Egypt, an economic researcher has died in custody after being forcibly disappeared in February. Ayman Hadood died in early March, but his family only learned of his death this weekend when they were asked to collect his body from a psychiatric hospital in Cairo. Hadood helped found the Liberal Reform and Development Party in Egypt. On Monday, his brother was summoned for questioning. Meanwhile, the imprisoned Egyptian activist Ala Abdel Fattah has become a British citizen in a bid to increase pressure on authorities to release him. The prominent human rights activist has spent most of the past decade locked up. Back in the United States, a former police officer in Virginia has been convicted on 6 counts for his role in the January 6th insurrection. Thomas Robertson had served as a police officer in Rocky Mount, Virginia. A month prior to the insurrection, Robertson called for a, quote, open armed rebellion. He's the second January 6th defendant to be convicted by a jury. The White House has finalized a new federal rule that would regulate ghost guns more like regular guns. Ghost guns are firearms without serial numbers that are usually assembled from kits and often sold over the internet or created in 3D printers. The Justice Department reports about 6,000 such guns are recovered at crime scenes each year. President Biden announced a new regulation Monday at the White House, where we was joined by Mia Tretta, a survivor of the Saugus High School shooting in Santa Clarita, California. In 2019, Tretta was shot in the stomach by a teenage classmate in an attack that killed her best friend, 14-year-old Dominic Blackwell.
Dominic had died, and so had another classmate, Gracie Ann Muehlberger, a 15-year-old girl with an infectious laugh. And a community was left shattered. I later learned that we had been shot by a 16-year-old student for reasons I will never know. He had brought his father's weapon to school, a firearm I would come to know as a ghost gun. Ghost guns are untraceable, build-it-yourself firearms that look like a gun, shoot like a gun, and kill like a gun, but have not been regulated like a gun.
Biden's new rule does not ban sales of ghost gun kits. Instead, it would mandate serial numbers for weapons parts, as well as a background check for buyers. Meanwhile, President Biden's nominated former U.S. Attorney Steve Dettelbach to head the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives. Biden's previous pick, David Shipman, failed to win the support of three Senate Democratic caucus members and withdrew his nomination amidst attacks from Republicans and the NRA over his gun control advocacy. The Senate's confirmed just one permanent director in the last 16 years amidst heavy lobbying from gun advocacy groups. State lawmakers in Maryland have voted to expand abortion access, becoming the 15th state to allow health professionals other than doctors to carry out the procedure. The new law provides funds for abortion care training programs and allows nurse practitioners, midwives, and physicians' assistants to become certified to perform abortions. The bill became law after Maryland's House of Delegates and State Senate voted to override a veto of the legislation by Republican Governor Larry Hogan. And Indonesia's parliament has approved a landmark bill aimed at preventing sexual violence. The new legislation provides prison terms of up to 12 years for crimes of physical sexual abuse, both in and out of marriage, and criminalizes forced marriage and online sexual harassment. It also sets up trust fund and recovery services to help survivors of sexual violence. Women's rights groups spent 6 years campaigning for the legislation. Outside Indonesia's parliament, police fired tear gas and water cannons to clear hundreds of students who rallied Monday to protest high prices for staples like cooking oil. The students are also demanding that the Indonesian president, Joko Widodo, back away from a proposal that he extend his tenure beyond the two terms in office allowed under Indonesia's constitution.
We are protesting the extension period for the president's tenure and the increasing price of oil and many other things that are hurting people. What's clear is how the elites are forcing themselves to delay the election, and that's what hurts the Constitution.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Austria's Chancellor Karl Nehammer met with Vladimir Putin in Moscow Monday, becoming the first European leader to meet with the Russian president since the start of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The chancellor said he fears Putin will intensify the brutality of the war as Russia launches a major offensive in eastern Ukraine.
I generally have no optimistic impression that I can report to you from this conversation with President Putin. The offensive in eastern Ukraine is evidently being prepared on a massive scale, which is why I made very clear that stable access for the International Red Cross is needed.
Thousands of Ukrainians have been fleeing eastern Ukraine ahead of the Russian offensive, but many are afraid to leave by train after a missile attack on a train station in the Ukrainian city of Kramatorsk killed at least 57 people and wounded at least 100. The crowded train station was packed with civilians trying to flee the area. UNICEF says nearly two-thirds of Ukraine's children have been displaced by the fighting. Earlier today, Russian President Vladimir Putin defended his decision to invade Ukraine, saying it's needed to protect Russian-speaking people in eastern Ukraine. Putin said, quote, its goals are absolutely clear and noble. It's clear we didn't have a choice. It was the right decision, he said. We're joined now by Lev Golenkin. He is a Ukrainian-American journalist who's reported extensively on Ukraine for years, the author of A Backpack, A Bear, and Eight Crates of Vodka, A Memoir of Soviet Ukraine. His article in the New York Times last month was headlined, The Ukraine of My Childhood is Being Erased. He came to the U.S. as a child refugee from the eastern Ukrainian city of Kharkiv. It was Kharkov in 1990. Lev Golenkin, welcome back to Democracy Now! It's great to have you with us, but under terrible circumstances. Can you talk about your city, Ukraine's second largest, the city of Kharkiv in the east, and what's happening right now?
The city is—it basically is in a siege mentality. The mayor says people are remaining calm, but there's only so much calm you can have.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday will bring a few showers and a high of 11 degrees Celsius. Thursday, there will be rain and a high of 11 degrees Celsius. Friday will be mainly sunny with a high of 16 degrees Celsius. Saturday, there will be a light rain and a high of 10 degrees Celsius. Sunday, there will be the chance of a shower and a high of 6 degrees Celsius. Monday will be mainly sunny with a high of 7 degrees Celsius. And finally, Tuesday will be cloudy with showers and a high of 7 degrees Celsius.
Conversations without words, feelings that are never heard. We don't need to waste our time. You and me never fight, baby. We're broken inside. This time, I'll spend the night to rewind the things on my mind, and I know what I know. But sex with you is easier tonight. I'm chasing red lights. Control.
but his clock is ticking. You're fooling me. Some time for you to borrow.
You send me out in the cold. en cas de symptômes s'apparentant à ceux de la COVID-19, comme la toux, la fièvre, le mal de gorge, la perte du goût ou de l'odorat, vous devez passer un test rapide de dépistage à domicile. Si le résultat est positif, isolez-vous à la maison et respectez les consignes d'isolement. Si vous n'avez pas de test rapide, isolez-vous selon la durée prévue. Consultez québec.ca/isolement pour connaître toutes les consignes. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Tick it, 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 t Hello and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized, informative podcast that's aimed to be listened to while you're in the shower, but really, it can be listened to anywhere at all.
And we mean anywhere. I mean, I don't think anybody would be mad if you put this on instead of dance music at an after session.
You can listen to this podcast while you're at pre-drinks.
You can listen to it while you're making tea.
Or you can listen to it while you are sitting down having a cup of coffee with your granny.
Yeah, we haven't talked about grannies in a while.
Grannies are great.
So Taz, what's the point of this podcast?
The whole point of this podcast is that we answer the mysteries of the world. We take the questions that you listening right now didn't even know you had, and we answer them and debunk them in a fun and informative way.
So far, we've answered questions like,
what's an itch?
What's a hangover doing to your brain?
Do periods actually sync up?
Do plants have feelings?
Where did the idea of a three-course meal come from?
And loads more.
I suppose you could say,
we expand your mind while you wash that behind. Oh, baby. This week's question is no different. This is a big one. One of the, like, honestly, this is a question that I didn't know that I needed to know the answer to.
Woof, woof.
Oh, it's, yeah, shout out to my dogs.
Woof.
So this question is our first ever repeat customer question. This is the second question that's been sent in by Aisling Lai.
And we usually, we have a large bank of questions, and we promised we would answer everybody's question before we went back to their second questions, but this one's too good.
This one is too good. And genuinely, it's one of the questions that we love getting, that when you read it the first time around, you think it's just going to be silly. But when we look into it, and we do look into every question that we've gotten, because sometimes you can find out little facts in the darkest of rabbit holes. This one properly gave us goosebumps.
Okay, Marcus, enough of the suspense. What is this week's question?
This week's question is, why do dogs hang their heads out of the windows of moving cars? So, Aisling Lai, your question, why do dogs love sticking their heads out of the windows of moving cars?
What's your favourite dog?
My favourite dog? Oh, don't put that on. Like, I love sausage dogs.
Oh, yeah.
I love Burmese Mountain. Is Burmese or Bernese Mountain Dogs?
I think you're thinking of a Bernese. You just had a steak earlier.
Yeah,
so.
Sauce dog. Raw sauce. Sausage dog.
I also like sausage dogs. I've got two little Jack Russells at home.
Oh, they're the best.
Legends.
They're honestly
heroes.
Shout out to Sam and Prin.
They're brilliant.
Do you know what? I've a lot of gra, which is the Irish word for love for all our international listeners. A lot of love for collies.
Yes.
Like we'd collies growing up in France. And they are like some of the stupidest dogs I've ever met. Like Lassie collies.
Yeah.
They're all so inbred, but like they're gorgeous. And
do you know what? Like I admire intelligent dogs, but I love stupid dogs, you know? Like my dog once got her head stuck in a pot noodle and walked around for about 20 minutes bashing into things. Happy as Larry.
Funny, that's actually happened to me as well.
Okay, so this week's question, Marcus.
This week's question, as I said, was a bit of a head scratcher. Aisling Lai really put the vice grips on us and asked, why do dogs always like sticking their heads out of the windows of moving cars?
So true.
It's true, but I mean, like, we've all seen it. You know, you've been hurtling down the motorway and the car in front of you has, like, a pug doing backflips out the back window or something. It's, like, it's fascinating to watch, and it's too common a phenomenon to not be able to look into it. And the internet being obsessed with dogs as it is, there was a little bit of information on it.
Okay, Marcus, enough of the motorway talk. Why do dogs hang their head out of moving vehicles?
Right, so there's no hard scientific evidence on this topic, really. But first of all, some people speculate that that dogs like to have a better viewpoint if they want to protect their masters.
Fair.
Yeah, and they want to be able to observe the surroundings.
Just like white girls in movies who hang their head out of sun roofs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and sing songs like
Party in the USA.
No, I was going to say, make my way downtown, walking fast.
Yeah, we should just get a supercoat of dogs to 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton. What a tune.
What a tune.
That actually came on my shuffle earlier, and I fully just leapt around my house when I should have been researching this episode. Right, the more common hypothesis about why dogs stick their heads out of moving windows is the assault on their senses.
Right.
So take a bit of a sniff for me, Taz. Like, What do you smell?
I smell the kind of plasticky smell of the cover on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
I smell a bit of wood because we've got a new table in our studio. I smell... I was in the swimming pool earlier, so I get a little bit of chlorine.
What do you think you would smell if your sense of smell was 10,000 times keener than it is?
10,000.
So the average dog has a sense of smell 10,000 times keener than a human. And some breeds, that factor goes up to 100,000 times.
What? Dogs That's hard to even comprehend.
I know. So basically, dogs have this incredible sense of smell. They have a larger nasal cavity. They have a huge portion of their brain actually dedicated to processing smells. So when a dog is in a moving car, either you're moving through so many different places at once that there's just like this cornucopia of smells.
Oh my God, I can only imagine.
Absolutely. It's like just everywhere. It's
but like even
different.
even if you drive from my house to the closest town, which is only about 50 minutes, you're going from the back arse of the countryside to like a small town. So you can imagine the different smells between them.
Absolutely.
If our smells were 10,000 times more
or even
100,
like when you look at dogs like bloodhounds and stuff like that that have been used in tracking, that like their sense of smell is off the chain. So it's kind of theorized that first of all you have so many different environments surrounding the dog in the car that that's pretty exciting, but also that the fact that the wind is like whooshing into their nose, that it's like it's a bit of a rush,
like a kind of like a sensory overload kind of thing.
Basically, yeah, dogs just love smelling things.
So that's the reason why.
Yeah, and I mean that's kind of a bit of a short answer, Aisling. I hope that's not too disappointing for you. But we've kind of decided to up the gambit on this one and expand our dog facts.
Yeah, so because that answer was a short enough one, even though it's super fascinating, we have decided that we're each going to surprise each other with I have five facts and Mark has four facts about dogs. We've researched probably the most fun I've had researching an episode for the last few hours, amazing facts about dogs, and we're going to shoot them at each other so that you are going to leave this episode of In the Show with Taz and Marcus with 10 random amazing facts about dogs.
I'm just sad that the budget for the research in this episode didn't stretch to actually playing with dogs in real life. I think we could have learned a lot of practical facts from that, but alas.
Okay, right. Alas. So I'm going to hit you with my first one.
Okay.
Okay. So, did you know that most dogs face the same direction when they poop?
What?
Yeah. So I didn't really believe this one either, but with extensive research, apparently the people of Reddit and the people of the interweb absolutely hand in heart believe this to be true. So whether you've noticed this or not, dogs tend to defecate on the north-south axis. And exactly why is a bit unclear, but it's related to the Earth's magnetic field.
You're never going to believe this, but I looked up that fact earlier.
What?
Yeah, seriously.
You didn't pick it?
I didn't pick it. Like, but I put down some notes about this. Do you want to hear something crazy?
Yes.
So basically, scientists are fascinated by this because they want to look at the effects that magnetic fields have on other animals, not just dogs or cats, but if humans like have any kind of, you know, behavior that's stimulated by this. So a study that took over 2 years examined a group of 70 dogs, right?
Okay.
Made up of 37 different breeds. It covered 1,893 poops and 5,582 wees.
Please tell me.
The study found that with calm magnetic field conditions, dogs preferred the north-south axis while pooping.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and
so
then,
that is actually true.
No, and then they were like, oh, maybe it's like down to environment if there's a wall or anything like that. But no, the dogs were observed in a free-roaming experiment with no leash and uninfluenced by like walls or other objects and still avoided the east-west axis altogether. So scientists are actually pretty interested
in
this.
That's so wild though. Like I have dogs and I've never really examined I've never got my compass out. Like, oh, Sam is facing towards the trampoline today. What degrees north is she? That's mad though.
But okay, staying on the topic of poops and wheeze. Have you ever noticed that dogs always hike one leg up to
wee?
Yes.
Please tell me
why.
Have
you ever wondered why?
Always.
I just thought it was a convenience thing, but it turns out that it's not. So obviously, dogs aren't just relieving themselves when they're peeing on things. Generally, they're marking their territory, and that urine that they're leaving is rich in scents and pheromones, but also the physical trace of it. Say you have a Jack Russell, like everyone knows what size like a Yorkshire Terrier or a Jack Russell is. they'll hike up a leg, and there's videos of this online. Some dogs have even been seen doing handstands
while weeing.
Absolutely, yeah, it's crazy. Like walking along in their two front paws with just wee shooting everywhere. But scientists think that this is to actually get the urine to land higher on the wall and make them seem like a bigger dog than they are. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one.
It's cool,
okay, right,
isn't it?
So my next one also has to do a bit with pooing.
We haven't done a poo episode in a while.
Yeah, it's about time. Right, so obviously we all know that dogs like to kick up the grass behind them they do a poop. Yeah.
Yep.
So some are actually just being polite and covering up the spot that they soiled. So if they
nice,
do a little poop, they'll just cover it with grass or something, very polite.
Like, I wish my housemates would do that.
But others, just like what you said there about peeing, others are releasing pheromones to, kind of claim the property that they've pooed on.
Well, you know what? If someone pooed on a patch of land, I'd let them have it.
Yeah, like, fair. But like they're spraying it to actually make it spread a further distance.
Right, okay. Mm, that's interesting.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Right, hit me with another one.
Okay, let's move slightly away the scatological poop facts. The younger of your two dogs is like the sleepiest dog ever. Like she'll just roll over for belly scratches. But have you ever wondered why a lot of dogs sleep on their backs?
Yes, like why? Like so, my dogs will just fall asleep completely on their backs with all four legs. Like I feel
like they're almost like a turtle or a beetle or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically, if a dog falls asleep on its back around you, you should be a little bit flattered. That posture is a testament to how much they trust you, as it's a sign of feeling secure.
Oh.
There you go. A bit of animal psychology for
is
you there.
Is that why you fall asleep on your back around me?
Exactly. I'm just like, I'm basically a human husky. It's okay.
Bark? Okay, so we got
smallest bark ever.
We deviated a bit from poo there, and we're not going back to poo, but we're going to bums.
Right.
So we all know that dogs smell each other's bums.
So do people in nightclubs, I'm pretty sure. It's weird.
Do they?
I don't know. Like I DJ, and it's like I see people run around just like, it's like watching National Geographic. I wish David Attenborough was up in the DJ booth with me one night. It's been like, and here we see the group of young males approaching the female. She is ready to mate, but she has rejected them all. Like, it's honestly, it's beautiful. But anyway, go on. So
anyway,
why are dogs sniffing butts?
Right, so dogs communicate with each other through chemicals, okay? Most of the time, they talk. It's even like, when a male dog knows that a female dog is in heat. It's all, it's all chemicals. So many of the compounds that contain valuable information just happen to be excreted in the posterior region.
That's very interesting.
Yes.
Now, so basically, like instead of checking the WhatsApp group for what's up, they're just sniffing bums, and they're getting all the information. Is that the...
Yeah.
Like, okay. I'm going to go back to another sleep fact and move away from bums and wee and poo. Is that okay with you?
Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
So dogs circle. They run in circles before lying down.
Yes.
You ever notice that?
Especially if they're on like a bed or something.
But it doesn't matter. They'll do it. They'll do it on like a flat floor. They'll do it on a bed. They'll do it outside. And this is a really, really interesting one. We've talked about evolution a hell of a lot on the show. And this is a prehistoric evolutionary behavior that's been in the canine species right up from from when they were, undomesticated wolves, right down to your little Shih Tzu that you keep in a handbag today. Like it's an actual retained behavior.
Okay, why?
So basically, dogs had to make their own beds, not like IKEA style with, an Allen key, everything like dog, but they had to pack down whatever grass or brush was on the floor. So that's why dogs will generally walk in circles a couple of times just to push everything down.
So hypothetically, if they were in a field with, a foot-high straw or wheat or whatever.
If they were in a field of wheat with Theresa May, just like they would be, just walking into the circles.
That's very interesting.
There
I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so back to kind of like circling. You're talking about circling.
Okay.
My next one is a bit to do with circling.
There you go. Perfect segue. Go on.
Tail chasing.
Are we still talking about nightclubs here? Or like,
okay, so sorry to break the news this way, but if your pet chases its tail, it may be suffering from OCD.
Can dogs get OCD?
But well, actually, CCD.
Right. Oh, it's
the dog version is called canine compulsive disorder.
Right. Okay. So, I don't know. Whenever I saw a dog chasing its tail, I was just like, oh, look at Fido. It's just having a fucking deadly time.
No, it's basically it can be It can be a sign that your dog is, you know, is obsessive over something, is obsessive over trying to catch something that is impossible for them to catch.
Okay. Right,
yeah.
That's...
CCD.
CCD. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we've one more each.
We do.
I kind of never want this episode to end, to be honest.
This is, like, I love dogs. Like, I think everyone loves dogs. But, like, this is... We hope you're enjoying this and that maybe you're in a house with a dog and you're looking at it and this next fact could be very relevant right now.
And if you do have a dog and you wanted to give Marks and I a present, we are at... The Head Stuff HQ, you can find us on Google Maps. Send any dogs or gifts this way.
Actually, you know what? Send us pictures of your dogs. I'm going to say this right now. If you can send us any pictures of any of your dogs, we would love that. But this is our second last fact. Have you ever wondered why dogs will tilt their heads? You know when a dog looks at you and it kind of...
But like,
it
even if you're like, if I'm like, Prin?
Yeah.
Sam, they'll kind of like tilt their head.
So basically, a lot of dogs, when they tilt their head, are tilting a dominant ear towards you. So it's to try and hear you better or understand you.
Okay.
Right. But then, here's another interesting theory about that. The dog could basically have trained you.
Hmm?
Dogs can identify when humans think something is, like, cute. And, like, you know, if a dog does that and they're like, oh, you're too cute, and they get treats and rubs... Then they'll do it more because
what evil little geniuses.
No, it's not. It's smart, isn't it?
So smart.
Yeah, dogs are playing us.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I feel like that one's better than my last one. We should have ended on that one. So my last one is about dogs chomping down on grass.
You know, I actually when we were in your parents' house the last time, I was watching the dogs just literally like eating the lawn.
Well, one explanation could just be that they want to eat grass.
Like, who doesn't really?
Another motivation could be that it helps clear out their gastrointestinal system. Just like if we ate a salad. You know,
really?
When you're really clogged up and you honestly say in your mind, I would love a carrot or a nice salad.
Yeah,
it clears out their system.
So what? It's just like getting a bit of fiber from the grass.
Yeah, precisely.
Just to help them poop.
Yeah.
Got to end on some kind of poop fact, don't you?
I think we have said that we're going to open the bank to new poop questions.
Yeah, so we had a poop amnesty there for a while, a ceasefire of poop.
Okay, just to end off the episode, Marcus.
Yes.
Can you please pretend to be a sausage dog looking for treats?
Woof! I really enjoyed that episode.
Woof woof!
Absolutely.
Woof,
like,
woof.
Have you ever? What? Like, do you think DMX, the rapper, is he barks a lot?
Does he?
Yeah. He's like, woof, 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 woof.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I think once every 10 or so episodes, we should just do a special on an animal.
That'd be cool.
Like, I'd love to know 10 random facts about a penguin.
Okay, well, let's do that.
Aisling Lai, thank you so much for sending in yet another question. Your previous question was excellent. This one was even more excellent, and we enjoyed answering it so much. If you, who are listening right now, are like Aisling and have a question that you would like debunked in a bite-sized, informative, but fun way, please, please, please get in touch with us. You can get us on social media.
All you have to do is type In the Share with Taz and Marcus into the search bar on Facebook, or if you want to get us on Twitter with the limited characters, you can get us at In the Share Pod.
If you want to do it the kind of old, more old-fashioned way, you can get us on email at intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com. I have to say that this week, since our last episode on dizziness, we've received more Facebook messages and more emails than any week previous. And genuinely, it has perked Marcus and I up so much. All you listeners can be a bit invisible to us. We don't really know who's listening or if you're enjoying it. So it is so, so lovely when somebody gets in touch and say that we are brightening up their day or that they're enjoying listening.
We also, this week, I just want to give a little shout out to a listener called Ruth, who actually sent us a piece of physical fan mail.
It was the best thing ever.
Honestly, so Ruth, thank you so, so much.
Ruth drew a picture of Marcus and I, and it was very, very thoughtful, and we love you, Ruth.
I'm really happy. Very...
But genuinely, I know we keep harping on about this, but please do get in touch with us if you have any questions or if you just want to say you enjoy listening. We would adore to hear from you.
If you want to help people find our podcast, just recommend us to a friend. It can be as simple as posting a Facebook status or even just telling someone in your office or in your friend group to check out In the Share with Taz and Marcus. Every little bit that you do for us really helps. And that's how podcasts spread. So
believe it or not, I know it may seem that we have a genius marketing plan behind us, but honestly, the way that this podcast gets to the masses is by people recommending it to their friends. So if you're listening to this and you enjoy it, please recommend it to one friend and we'll love you forever.
Yeah, we're just two schmucks in a studio and we hope you like what we do. A couple of thank yous just before we finish up. Thank you to Paddy, Alan and Rebecca and all the crew in Headstuff HQ. Thank you so much, guys, for hosting us on your wonderful network. Big love always.
Congratulations on getting a new desk. The studio is looking A1.
It's looking beautiful.
Next thank you goes to Flo Robinson, my best mate, for doing our cover art. Marks and I spent the weekend with you and we had a truly, truly magical time in London. Thank you, Flo.
And finally, a big thank you to Dave Gertzman, who came up with our super catchy theme song. Dave, you are honestly one of the great virtuoso musical geniuses of our generation. And I will not hear anyone say otherwise. So
thank you so much, Dave. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. So Taz, next week's question.
This week's question comes from Bridget Bowden, who got us on email, and she wants to know, what would happen if we sneezed with our eyes open?
I never thought about that. Bridget, good question.
Good question. That question is going to be out next Monday morning in time for your shower.
But you can listen to it at any time. And we've loads of episodes that you should check out. So please do that.
But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
I've been watching you, man.
Wake up.
I've been waiting for you. Everybody's waiting for you. You're fucking dead. It's your time to go, man.
I see under how you clever, girl. You make me smile. She's watching over up his shoulder, straight into my eyes.
From my wounds, take away my curse, girl. You make my heart burst. Start a fire, how you work on me. I feel problems is hurting me. I know that when you leave, it will be hurting me. But better goods than bad bads, this makes great sense to me. Riding on the sofa like I could have taken over. My belly's full of talent, and I'm learning to roll over. My orders come in minutes, and I always tip the shoulder. I make you coming over. I make you sing it over. Maybe take my number. I might just see you later. I make you coming over. I make you sing it over. Maybe take my number. I might just see you later.
Hey, this is the front desk. Looks like we're having an emergency situation going on. Please lock the doors and be quiet. We got 28 in the motherfucking
bed. I see under how you clever, girl. You make me smile. She's watching over up his shoulder, straight into my eyes.
What the fuck?
I keep messing with you.
What the fuck?
I keep messing with you.
What the fuck?
I keep wishing I'm with you, yeah.
Look, don't know what's up, I'm dead since I left you go,
baby.
When I was there for you, you showed me we could
make it.
Turning my back for every last time to survive. Right now, give you my love, I'm taking it back, cause I'm in that. Right now, need you forever, but never be better, cause three of your letters be crushing my fetters. Can't stop losing my mind, without you, I die. I'ma tell you, I don't even know why. Through all the drama, you're here and you still smile. No gift for dollars, I'll pick you up and let's ride. On the bed, on the floor, got some love for the night. I'ma tell you, I don't even know why. Through all the drama, you're here and you still smile. No gift for dollars, I'll pick you up and let's ride. Right on the bed, on the floor.
I got some love on the night. I'll make you coming over.
I got some love for you all.
I'll make you sing it over.
I got some love for myself, yeah.
Maybe take my number.
I got some love for the night.
I might just see you later.
I got some love for my mother.
I'll make you coming over.
I got some love for myself.
I'll make you sing it over.
I got some love for you.
Maybe take my number.
I got some love for you.
I might just see you later. I'll make you sing it over.
Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
Well, that wraps up the Wednesday Morning After for this week. Keep on listening to CKUT.
Starts now.
Forget our fate. Set up to sell my soul, I live the life of the plan. And yet I guess color of spring, immersive.